Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hello. Welcome to Hexham Community Church. We're doing things a little bit differently this morning. It's Eden Sunday, and we're going to go straight into our first video clip, if that's all right. Maybe. Just confusing everybody, aren't we? So the whole morning's going to be a bit different this morning, and we'll talk you through that in a minute as well, won't we? We will.
We will.
There we are.
Ta-da! Off we go.
Let's go. Isn't that amazing? So we're going to be, as I said before, doing things a little bit differently this morning. We are going to be telling you some stories about all the great things that are going on as part of our Eden, but also Eden nationally. So Eden's part of a national network. If we could go on to the next slide. So Eden sends and supports teams to live out the gospel in communities. And if we could just have the next one as well. And Eden's got a real heart to work in the areas with the highest levels of deprivation. And I don't know if you'll be able to see, but we are that tiny little dot there, right in the middle. When we first looked at it, I was like, oh, there we are, Kevin. He's like, no, that's Scotland. So at least I know where we are now. And Eden works through partnership with the local church, which is you guys. And so we just really wanted to share with you guys what's been going on. And so we'll be taking a special offering for Eden at the end of the service as well. And the kids will go out as normal, about 10 to 11. That'll come up on the screens. And I think that's it, is it?
Okay, so would you all like to stand, please? So we're going to spend some time in worship first. So, be good just to open your hands. Jesus, we welcome you here. We love you. We just ask you to come by the power and presence of your Spirit and do whatever you want. And this is not about Rachel or me or Eden. It's about you and about your heart and what you want. We just give ourselves to worship you now. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Over to you.
Thanks, Joe and Ben. That was amazing. So what we're going to do now is, as I said all morning, we're doing things very differently, hence the bar stools, the Kevins, and... And this squirty cream definitely wasn't here yesterday when we went through this, so I'll give you that back.
That's mine.
Yeah, I thought so. So what we're going to do now is we're just going to talk a little bit about what's been going on with our Eden and hopefully share some things with you that will encourage you in your life and walk with God as well. So if we could go back to our PowerPoint. Amazing. Thanks, Jen. So this is our Eden lounge, our base. Home. Yeah, I think Kevin and I are there more than the people who actually live in that house. Would you agree? Yeah. I think Joel would agree too. But so this is kind of where we're based out of. It is not all about this room, is it?
No. It's a good base.
But it's a good base. So if you're passing by, give us a wave or a prayer. Would be amazing. This is what it looks like inside. So we kind of... We wanted it to be like a lounge. We wanted people to come in and feel comfortable and feel at home. And so that's what it's like. The furniture moves around quite a lot, doesn't it?
It does.
And there's sometimes squirty cream on the walls, isn't there, Kevin?
I know nothing.
Okay. So what we're going to do now is we've got another video clip for you. This is a story of a girl called Emma. And Emma is from Teesside, whoop whoop. And... this is her story of how she met Jesus. So you'll be able to tell from her accent. She's from Teesside. If we could play that. Isn't that just incredible? amazing, the power of Jesus to change people's lives. And we were actually with Emma, weren't we? And Tony, just last Saturday, just catching up. And just, it's amazing to see her moving forward with God. And that's our heart. That's what we're about. We want to see people meeting Jesus, don't we?
Yeah, and getting their lives changed and just enjoying him and enjoying life again in a way they never have before. So we should have a passage to come up on the screen now. Look at that, marvellous. So we're going to read this passage, which is from Luke 10, chapter 2, because it's the 10th of the second, so obviously that's what we have to read. and as luck would have it, it happens to fit. No, this is intentional, and this is for this morning. This is from the Passion Translation, and some of the stuff we're going to talk about this morning, you'll find roots back into here. And if you want to go home and just look at the passage again and just see where the things fit, you can. So I'm just going to read it to you, and I'm going to try reading it off the screen. So after this, and this is when Jesus sent out 72 people, all right, to go and do what he sent them to do. After this, the Lord Jesus formed 35 teams among the other disciples. Each team was two disciples, 70 in all. And he commissioned them to go ahead of him into every town that he was about to visit. He released them with these instructions: the harvest is huge and ripe, but there are not enough harvesters to bring it all in. So as you go, plead with the owner of the harvest to drive out into his harvest fields many, many more workers. Now off you go. I'm sending you out, even though you feel as vulnerable as lambs going into a pack of wolves. You won't need to take anything with you. Just trust in God alone. And don't get distracted from my purpose by anyone you might meet along the way. Once you enter a house, speak to the people there and say, God's blessing and peace be upon this house. If a lover of peace resides there, your peace will rest upon that household. But if you're rejected, your blessing of peace will come back upon you. Don't feel the need to shift from one house to another, but stay put in one home during your time in that city. Eat and drink whatever they serve you. Receive their hospitality, for you are my harvester, and you deserve to be cared for. Okay.
There's another one.
Is there? All right. This is well organized. I have my PA here. Oh.
Well, there was another one.
There was another one.
There definitely was another one. Shall I read it off here?
Go on.
So we did, you deserve to be cared for. When you enter a town and you have been welcomed by its people, follow these rules, eat what is served to you, then heal the sick and tell them God's kingdom realm has arrived and is now within your reach. Cool.
Thank you. I'll just do this a little bit. Okay. So, just as we're talking this morning, we're going to tell you stories, some stories from our life and what we do in Eden and so on, at the east end of Hexham. But we don't want you to just go away thinking, well, that's all this is about, because actually we're all called to go wherever we are. And we want you to be thinking and dreaming about the place where you are and the people you're among and where you live and where you work. And how is God calling you to go in that situation? Because all we're doing is going in the place he's put us.
Yeah, definitely. And like Kevin said, this morning's not just about the East End. Actually, one of Eden's like taglines is love where you live. And actually, that's the call for us all, to really love and to be intentional about the places and the people that God's brought around us. And that's different for each and every one of us. We've all got different families and neighborhoods and workplaces and connections. And God's given us those. And it's about us being intentional, about us loving where we live and bringing his life into that. And you know, these disciples that we were just reading about, they were just ordinary people, weren't they? Probably quite uneducated, which makes me feel a bit better. And but actually what they had is they'd been with Jesus. They knew who they were. They knew who they carried. And they just got on with it. And they weren't getting distracted. And, you know, these ordinary people changed the world, which I just think's amazing.
And the key was not just they knew him, like knew about him, and met him and could tell you things about him. They actually knew him. And so there's a confidence in that, just in knowing who he is.
Definitely. And we've been looking, haven't we, at identity, at who we are in God, because that's really foundational to us knowing who we are and what we carry and us going out to be the people God's called us to be. And so when we were thinking about this verse, we felt we could kind of summarize it in three words, and they're just on the screen. So pray, go, and impart. I like it nice and simple and not complicated. And and this is not like a process. Prayer's not step one and you've got to do 37 hours of prayer and get level one ticked off before you can then go, then you can impart. You know, actually they kind of all kind of flow between each other. The passage talks about verse 2 says, as you go, pray. As you go, plead with the owner of the harvest to send out more workers. It's not that we do our prayer and then we tick that off. But actually, we pray as we go. But actually, first, we have to make a decision to go, don't we? Yeah. And then as we go, we impart as well. So we're just going to look at these three words this morning and what they mean for us, but actually what they mean for us all as we decide to pray, go, and impart God's life into the situations, into those places that he's placed us.
So, I'm just going to share a little bit of our story, which is not brilliant. even at the beginning, we knew we ought to pray, but we never really did it, did we?
No.
And we'd say, oh, we'll pray before we do anything, before we start, and then we just get busy faffing on and doing stuff and whatever and getting all the practical stuff sorted. We'd say, oh, we'll set this time for prayer, but we'd allow other people to come in and we'd just chat with them and whatever. We'd say, right, we're going to be really determined, we're going to do our planning and then we're going to have some time to pray at the end of the day. And that was like 5 minutes at the end of a full day's work, you know. And it was just getting pushed out. Yeah. And it was probably about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, about a month ago.
So this is current.
Very.
that we started getting a lot more sorted and organized and intentional about this, and actually taking time to pray. And in that, just almost straight away, we've seen God doing stuff and giving us...
Absolutely. The shift that we've had in the last couple of weeks has been absolutely incredible, hasn't it?
Yeah, so there's been times where we felt we needed to actually get to talk to some people a bit more on their own rather than with other people. And as we prayed about that, God's just opened up the way. And people who are like Siamese twins almost and came in pairs, we just managed to get one and be able to talk to them and just bring some stuff into their lives, which is really, really helpful for them.
Absolutely. And Kevin mentioned that it was the 10th for the second, and we're looking at Luke 10 too. So this has kind of come from Eden. And some of their heart for Eden Sunday was that actually people would be praying for Eden, because the verse 2 talks about, you know, plead with the owner of the harvest, pray for the workers, pray for more workers. And, you know, we've seen such a shift as we've been far more intentional about praying and seeking God. And actually, we'd love for you to get involved in that. We'd love for you to have a heart to pray for Eden and what's been going on. There is so many people in this room who already do and encourage us. But actually, one of the things Eden suggested was that, you know, if you've got a phone that's got an alarm on, they suggested that maybe just for this week, you could set an alarm for 10 or 2, either a.m. or p.m., whatever, I'll be in bed by 10 or 2 p.m., so that wouldn't work for me. But just to kind of, to pray for Eden, just to kind of be more intentional, or if you wanted to do that as more of a long-term thing, we're always in Eden, aren't we, at 10 or 2 a.m. on a Monday and a Friday, and we'd love for you to be praying, and just praying that God would have his way in this place, that people would meet Jesus as they come in. So if you've got your phone, you're welcome to do that. If you're on your phone, I'll think you're doing that and not on Facebook or WhatsApp or whatever, Kevin. And and also on the screen, we've got our HCC prayer texts. Woo, yeah. You all sound really excited about that. We've got our HCC prayer texts.
Woo!
And what you can do is if you text that number with your name, you can receive on your phone, how exciting is this, prayer updates from all the various ministries in the church, so you can hear about things that we're asking people to pray for Eden, but also for the healing room and my time and other things like that. So if you want to sign up for that, you are very welcome to. Again, you are allowed to be on your phone in the service as long as you are behaving yourself, definitely. But, you know, as we pray, we partner and align ourselves with Jesus. Yep. and his will and what he wants to do. And it becomes less and less about us and more about him.
Yeah, and it's not just, it's not that we need to sit and have a prayer meeting before we can go and do anything. It's actually about praying as you go. So as we're doing, you know, as we're involved in what we do, we need to take time to pray. And just in that, actually, we find that sometimes it's almost like God just listens in on conversation. And you don't even have to pray for things. You say, oh, I'd really like that to happen. And it happens. And it's just about being in that kind of connection with him and that walk with him. It's quite funny, actually.
Yeah, I mean, we had a situation on Friday afternoon, didn't we? And it could have been quite a complicated situation. Somebody messaged us and said, look, I can't breathe. I'm calling the doctor out. And we just went, okay, we'll go. And we just prayed on the way, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And saw an amazing thing happen, which we'll come to later, so keep listening.
I'll tell you later, yeah.
So we've talked about prayer, and the next area is about going.
So that must be me.
Yeah.
So God is not satisfied with the way things are. And some of us actually in here feel a sense of divine dissatisfaction. He's not satisfied with the way things are in society, in the world, in this town. And whilst some of us may have very comfortable lives and be quite satisfied with where we are, God is not satisfied with the overall picture, and he wants to bring transformation. And you may be comfortable and quite secure and well off and whatever, but the people around you are people who are struggling and who need answers that they haven't got, and actually you're carrying, you are the source for them of what they need if you walk with Jesus. And his plan is to transform us, that we go and transform the people around us. And just like Emma's story at the beginning, a lady who's transformed, and then she starts bringing her friends and they're transformed, and that transforms the community, all right? So it's not just about where we are, it's about where you are and who around you needs to be transformed. And there's just this, you know, the bit in Isaiah where Jesus, he read this out when he stood up in the temple. This is at the start of his ministry, about the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor and so on. You know that? Yeah? All right. So as you go further down that passage, and he's talking about people who need setting free and being released. And then he says, this, if I can find it, about these people. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them. All right? Though they've been deserted for many generations. So it's the transformed people who will transform. It's not our job to go and change everything. Our job is to change those around us, and they will change those around them, and the cities are transformed, and the towns and villages.
Definitely, and you can just see that in Emma's life, can't you? Somebody who was, you know, dealing drugs, into all sorts, who's now bringing her friends to church and telling people about Jesus, which is just absolutely incredible. And going back to the passage that we've looked at in Luke 10, verse 3 talks about him sending the disciples out, but they felt like lambs going into a pack of wolves. And, you know, sometimes we can feel a bit like that, can't we? We can feel a bit like, whoa, okay, I'll go, but it is a bit scary. But, you know, the disciples, they went out like lambs, but they came back like lions. They came back with stories, with more faith in God. And you can imagine them all talking, can't you, and going, whoa, we prayed for somebody and their ears opened. And just that kind of confidence in God that actually it's nothing that we have that's special about us. It's actually it's who we have inside us who really makes the difference. And, you know, I go into a lot of situations and I think, what am I doing here? I was in a meeting on a Tuesday afternoon and they're going around the table introducing all these people and they're like, I'm the head of this for Northumberland and I'm the head of this for the West and I'm the head of this. And I'm like, okay, hi, I'm Rachel. And and actually, I'd been invited there because we were talking about some family situations. And they said, well, can you come? Because you've got real insight into the family and what's really going on. And I kind of went, yeah, okay. And it was just a real God opportunity. And actually, someone came to me when I said, oh, and we're part of the church and we work with Eden. And she said, oh, I need to speak to you at the end. I'm like, okay. And she said, oh, you know such and such, don't you? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And basically, social services were asking us to pretty much disciple, this young person. Can you take her out and just talk to her and give her some time? Because apparently she won't speak to anyone else, but she'll speak to you. What's your referral process? I went, I think we can do that. And they said, how long will that be for? A month, 2 months, 3 months? I went, it can be ongoing. Because obviously we do things very differently to a lot of services. And, you know, it's just about looking for those God opportunities. And, you know, I can feel like, what am I doing here, God? And actually feel a bit like a lamb amongst wolves. But actually, the more I just walk with Jesus, the more I go, whatever. I know that you're with me, God, and I'll just trust you to open the doors. And, you know, we said before about these disciples, you know, they'd had no special training. They'd not been to Bible college or anything. You know, they were known the Old Testament, but they didn't even have the Bible. But they went because they knew who they were. They knew who was with them, and they just got on with it, didn't they? Yeah.
So that girl you took away on Saturday, on Friday?
Yeah, we went to Molly Moo's.
Molly Moo's.
So, yeah.
It's discipleship for you, it's the new model.
Absolutely, Molly Moo's. And yeah, they changed the world. And actually, when I was thinking about this, I used to work in a school. And there was one teacher, and she was really quite scary, and all the kids were scared of her. And I remember being on, like, a couple of school trips with her, and the kids, like, they're out of school, and they're messing around, and they're trying to trip each other up, and you know what I mean, and just mess about, and she just kept shouting, right, boys, walk with a purpose, and they were all scared of it, and they went from kind of like this to kind of like head up, shoulders back, we're not talking, and like they were, how they walked was completely different, because they were walking with a purpose, and the same's true for us. We can kind of be walking down with our heads down, but actually once we know who we are and what we carry into situations, we walk differently. We walk with a purpose. We walk carrying Jesus. So as we go, we're carrying him into situations. You know, Kevin said God's answer is transformed people, transforming other lives. Amen.
Okay, well, and actually, I think that is a word for some people here about walking with a purpose. We just drift through our lives, don't we? It's 1 week to the next, to the next, to the next. And it's time really to start dreaming with God and saying, God, what do you want me to do? Where I am, around me, what's your plan? What can we do? What adventure can we go on? Because this is an adventure, and it's about you having your own adventure where you are.
Absolutely. So we've looked at prayer, we looked at pray, we've looked at go, and the final area is impart. And you know, have you ever been in a situation, maybe at work or at home, and you're just kind of doing your own thing, and then someone comes into the room who's really stressed, and the atmosphere just changes, doesn't it? And you know, maybe they're feeling stressed or under pressure or something, and then everybody else in the room suddenly starts to feel that stress or pressure because they start imparting that into other people. I can remember being in plenty of work situations where someone's come in really stressed, and then they go and everyone else feels stressed because actually we impart what we carry. And actually, on a morning, sometimes I can be rushing around trying to get two kids to school, changing nappies, making lunches, doing all sorts, thinking, right, I need to ring so-and-so back and I need to email this and I need to do that and whoa, 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 and I'm already late for school. And actually, I just need to stop. Because actually, I don't want to take that kind of stress and pressure into the day and into other people's lives. And after I have to stop and go, actually, Jesus, I give all that to you. I don't want to carry that into my day. I don't want to carry that into anybody else's home or life today. Actually, Jesus, what I want is to carry you. I want to carry your peace. I want to carry your presence. And actually, I have to push that stuff aside and go, actually, that doesn't matter. I'm going to carry you, Jesus, into that situation. And, you know, that only happens by us knowing him, doesn't it? And being intentional about us carrying him into situations. You know, verse 6 talks about let your peace rest upon that household. If we're not carrying peace, how are we going to let it rest on people's households and lives? Are we going to be people who, you know, bring more stress into people's lives? Or actually, are we going to be people of peace who bring peace and carry Jesus into people's homes and lives?
All right, so I'm just going to, this isn't scripted, but I'm going to ask Rachel some questions. because actually, this girl does carry Jesus where she goes. And this is what the people sense wherever she is, wherever we are. They pick that up. And I just want to ask, is it, because obviously you've got a relationship with Jesus is close. And well, it's kind of like that, really, I think, you know, if I can't even twist my fingers, but force them. It's like that, you know? So has it always been like that, or has something changed lately? Or
definitely something's changed. I couldn't put my finger on when or where or how, but actually, I think I just got to the point where I was fed up of just going through the motions, of just playing church, of just being a Christian, and actually, Jesus, I want to be serious about this. I want to be serious about you. I want to carry you, and I want to see you change lives. And, you know, and there's nothing in me that can change people's lives. There's nothing about my personality that does that. But actually, it's just Jesus. And if I don't know him, how can I impart him into other people's lives?
And so they... Because you've obviously got love for people, and that comes out. You're not not one of these people who's sort of irritated by everybody. There's a love.
Sometimes.
But in general terms, there's something that comes out of you, which is a compassion for people. Where's that come from?
Jesus. That's the Sunday school answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, you know, God's obviously given us all different giftings and personalities, but I've always had just like a care and a love for people. And we were chatting the other day, weren't we, just about, you know, I grew up in a Christian family, but actually I've always had a heart for people who are a little bit worse off than us. You know, I went to a really rough school in Middlesbrough. It was like, it was just the norm that the police would be in every week talking about drugs and needles and whatever else, and yeah, and God's just, through a lot of different things in my life, I've just always had a heart for people, and you know, some days I do struggle, and some days I have to go, actually, Jesus, I need to see people, and I need to see this situation, how you see it, but it's something I believe God's put in.
Yeah, and actually, whilst we're talking about, this may help somebody. For me, I was brought up the other way, so I was brought up in a very middle-class family. I went to private school. My parents' view of people who lived on council estates was quite derogatory, really. And I was brought up with all of that, that there's something right about us that other people didn't have and so on. There was definitely something not right and all that. Now, these filters affect us, and we're brought up with stuff. Some people are brought up with racial prejudice as a filter. Some people are brought up with not liking, you know, the place of women being down here and men up here as a filter. There's all kinds of stuff that needs to change. And for me, I actually had to say to God, you need to change me. And I need to begin to see people as you see them. Because I could see people almost clinically, professionally sometimes. And actually, it's a heart thing. And we need to love people the way he loves them. And he's changed my heart. And it's great.
Can we go back to the script now?
Okay.
Thanks. It's you.
Oh, all right. All right, I'll just tell you this. We'd been doing a parenting course Rachel had been doing a parenting course. I was there for crowd control, really. at Eden. And there were some of the guys were just... sitting around talking afterwards, and one lady, and it really came out of the blue, didn't it? She just says, you know what it is, Kev? She says, we come here because we feel loved, you know? And her friend who was sitting with her said, yeah, we feel loved and not judged. Some people are laughing because they know who it is.
His accent wasn't that good.
But isn't that good?
Yeah.
Ashley? That they come because they feel loved and not judged. And this comes out it's not just because we're nice people and we give them coffee and toast or whatever. It's because God's done something in us. And it's actually because he loves them, and that's what they're picking up. Because naturally myself and what I carry is not enough, and what Rachel carries is not enough, and what you carry is not enough, but what he puts in you is enough for every situation. And one thing that Rachel's really good at is like calling gold up out of people. We can look at people and we just think, well, is this wrong, is that wrong, this needs to change, that needs to change. She just homes in on the stuff that's good, the stuff they're doing well. I just overheard a little conversation the other day with a lady who's struggling a bit with a family and getting things in order and also dealing with of sort of the services and so on. And Rachel just saying, you know, you're really good, you're amazing, what you've done with your children, it's really good, and how you're doing, and so on. And you could see that girl almost just straightening up and just feeling validated and affirmed and loved and cared for.
Yeah, and we had another situation, didn't we, on Monday, with another, again, talking about praying for people on their own. We had one lady just came in on Monday. Everyone else had gone, hadn't they? And she just kind of poured her heart out to us, really difficult relationship situation, you know, where there is literally not an easy way out, is there? And, you know, she just said, oh, I'm sorry. And we just said, well, it's fine. And we were just able to encourage her in who she was.
Yeah.
And she was like, she really struggled to hear it, didn't she?
Yes.
Because actually, she's the sort of person where actually, I don't think there's anybody else around her who will be ever saying anything positive to her.
Probably not, no.
And encouraging her, and we just said, you know, you're like a mum to a lot of these people, and you know what's going on in other people's lives, and you're just amazing. And it was just a real privilege, and she was a bit taken back by it, wasn't she?
She was, and she'd actually done some practical stuff which helped us, and I just sent her a text at the end of the day and just said it was really good and thank you very much, and just how good she is at spotting where needs and gaps are and stuff like that. She said to Rachel, Kevin sent me a text well over the top. And all I'd done was just thank her for what she did, you know, and just she's not used to it.
Yeah, and we can all do that. We can all do that. And that's just imparting Jesus in a really easy and practical way. You know, there might be somebody in your workplace who just needs a bit of encouragement, who just needs somebody to say, actually, that's great the way you do that. Or, you know, I really see that in you, that you're someone who really cares. And that is just bringing Jesus. That's his heart. That's how he sees people. Mm. He has compassion on them.
Yeah.
And we can all do that. And that's just a really simple way that we can impart Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah. And the truth is actually, for you, the way he sees you, he's not judging you. He's not condemning you. He's not looking at all the wrong things. He's looking at all the good stuff in your life and how much he loves you and how much he just wants to set you free and release you and just bring you to the place where you are who he created you to be. A lot of what we do is actually just doing life with people. And too often, I think in the past for the church, we've felt that we've become Christians and now we just need to stay safe somehow indoors and keep away from people who might contaminate us. Is that right? Yeah? That is the thing, and it's certainly what people outside see of the church over the years. It's drifted a bit into that. Let's just keep ourselves safe, keep ourselves clean, and just we'll get through to the end and it'll be fine. And actually, we need to be out there doing life with people and living with them. I used to be really offended when people swore. And
it's a good job you're not now.
But who am I to judge? I mean, actually, before I was saved, I used to swear. I could probably clear a room in a pub quite easily. But there was something wrong with me that needed to change. And actually, to address that thing doesn't get to the heart of the issue. And it's just about, you know, what people say, what they do, doesn't make me, it doesn't affect me. There's that whole thing in the Old Testament, you know, if you touched a leper, you're unclean. And so you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. And you know, in the New Covenant, when we touch the leper becomes clean. Amen. All right? So it's completely the other way around. It's a complete upside down thing. So it's just about doing life with people.
Mm. It's good you'll be not offended though, isn't it? Because
you
prayed with someone the other day and she told you where to go as a compliment for praying for her, didn't you?
Yeah. So she was depressed and I said, can I just pray for you? And we've prayed for her before. I know her reasonably well. and it was funny because she gets emotional and there's obviously stuff that gets stirred and so on. But I prayed for her anyway, and then she just told me where to go.
And in like a loving way, wasn't it?
It was. It was quite a compliment. So, yeah, go on. It's your turn now.
Okay. I mean, who could you be more intentional with? Who could you kind of say, well, actually, if I'm at work, I'm going to spend my lunch time with them, or I'm going to go and say hello to my neighbour who we just kind of say hello when we're getting in and out of the car for? Who could you be more intentional about doing life with? Because there's people around us all, isn't there,
yeah,
who we could all be more intentional with? And it's, and going back to the kind of prayer going part, we pray as we go, and we ask God for the opportunities to open up those doors into people's lives and homes, because he wants to do that, doesn't he? And back in the passage, verse 7 talks about us kind of staying in those places that he's opened for us. And, you know, God's just opened so many doors for us, hasn't he? It's just absolutely incredible.
Yep.
Like this time last year, we probably hardly knew anyone. And now we could probably walk onto most streets in that estate and get a cup of tea in most, in definitely a house on each street, couldn't we?
Oh,
and it's just incredible how open people have been, and how, and it's just God doing that. As I say, we don't have any like amazing strategy or plan, do we?
Nope.
Definitely not. But you know, as you commit to walking with Jesus, he does it, and we just have to honor those people. And you know, relationships take time. Getting to know people takes time, and, you know, that's what Jesus did. He spent his time with the people. And, you know, people are people, not projects. They're people to love. And, you know, they might never make a decision to follow Jesus, but we can impart his love and his life into the people around us. And one of the things we do quite a lot is we feed people, which is obviously biblical because the passage talks about eating. So this was our Christmas bring and share lunch, which Chloe coordinated for us. We had a right spread, didn't we? It was amazing. And the people just brought stuff, and we were together, and it was just lovely. And we do a lot of stuff kind of based around food, which is amazing, because that's what Jesus did, wasn't it? You know, he had meals with people in their houses. He fed the 5,000. It's not massively complicated. So, you know, we're open on a Friday. We just do kind of tea, coffee and toast and stuff. And one of the new things that we just started doing is we've signed up with an organisation called Fair Share. Has anyone heard of Fair Share? A few. And basically, this is amazing, twice a week now, we get food that Tesco and Waitrose are literally throwing in the bin. And I mean, I think last Sunday we had, what, 6 crates?
Yeah, it's like, good food though.
Good food as well, like bags of salad and potatoes, and we had 2 boxes of aubergines, didn't we? And we were like, what? How on earth are we going to get rid of 2 boxes of aubergines? And we did.
Easy.
Yeah. No effort at all. And actually, you know, so they send us a text and they say, we've got 6 crates of food, do you want them? And we're like, yes, please. And so, and it's just been amazing, and we've had people come in and collect stuff from us, and then some other people have said, oh, you could go and give some to so-and-so, and we've been into even more houses and made even more connections just by giving away this food that was literally going in the bin, which is just amazing. And, you know, it's not costing us anything.
Yeah.
It's not complicated, and it just feels like a real door
that
God's opened.
Yeah. I mean, all we gave her really was some potatoes and a couple of other little things, and she's just so overwhelmed, you know?
Amazing.
Explain this.
Do you have to?
This is just part of doing life with people. I'm not allowed to squirt it because it belongs to my time, apparently. And Susanna is somewhere watching.
She's up there.
All right. Okay. And just being willing to have a bit of a lark on with people, which suits me.
But so I'd gone to see somebody and deal with a situation.
Bad move.
Yeah.
But we've got a girl who's still at school who comes with her mum sometimes. And she's got some issues, and she struggles a bit. And when she first came, she was quite like a bit anti, not at ease at all and so on. But she spotted the squirty cream in the fridge. So we just had a little competition to see who could get the most in the mouth. And it was going well.
And then I'm getting sent videos of Kevin covered in squirty cream. And even a couple of weeks ago, Holly, wasn't there? There was still squirty cream on the walls and on the pictures. So this is what happens when you leave Kevin in charge.
It was going fine until she had a mouthful of cream. I mean, it was, and she could pack it in, probably half a can, you know. But then she laughed. And it went everywhere. It was over her mother, it was up the wall, it was over me on the carpet. I thought we got most of it off before Rachel came back. But obviously not. But actually, since then, that was an icebreaker for her.
Yeah.
And now she's actually, the other day we were in her house, and she was saying, when could she come out with us to go for a, you know...
Molly Moos.
Molly Moos, yes.
Molly Moos.
For more of this. But it's good.
It's amazing. Yeah. It is. And it's just been so easy. It's not complicated. God's just opened up so many doors. And actually, one of the things we're planning on doing this year, you might have heard, is we're taking a coach load of people on holiday.
60
people. Hmm. So before Christmas, I had a dream. And in my dream, we were away, and there was kind of people from church, and there was people we knew off the estate, and there was loads of little log cabins. And I woke up, and I just really felt like this was something God had put on my heart. And so I'm telling Kevin, and he's going... Right, okay. And I was like, and there is a place, I've been before, I've taken people before. And he's like, okay. And then we started praying, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
We both ended up in tears.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of standard, Holly said. And we just kind of felt that this was something God wanted us to explore. So we literally, it was like the next day or something, wasn't it? We ended up going.
Yeah.
And we're driving along. It's the place is called the Jonas Centre, and it's in the Yorkshire Dales. And we're chatting about it. And basically, they've got 12 little log cabins, and then they've got this big barn that's been converted. And there's like a dining room and a kitchen and like lounge space. And we're driving along, aren't we? And we just said we were on the ball that day. We said we should pray.
praise you go. So, but we found the lay-by.
Yeah, we. Pulled in at the lay-by, and we just said, God, if this is of you, make it really clear and give us success today. And we went and we chatted to the lady, and we're just blown away. And they were well up for what we wanted to do. They were used to people, some from quite complicated backgrounds.
More sides than that, or is that?
No, there was the first one which had the barn and the communal area.
Right.
And then there's 12 cabins.
Yeah.
And we did a bit of negotiating, and she said she was going to give us a bit of a discount, and we both looked at each other and just went, I went, can we book it?
The price was about $3,500.
Yeah.
And actually, we need to book the whole site, because it's not, you know, if we just had half of it and there are other people come there for a quiet family holiday.
They wouldn't get a quiet family holiday.
Wanting their money back.
There'd be a lot of squirty cream. Yes.
So we just said, yeah, it'd be fine.
So, yeah, and so we're in the car coming back, kind of laughing and going, okay, God, but you're going to have to provide for this. And we're doing some rough maths, and it was very rough because maths is not my strong point. And we're going, okay, God, we need about $5,000 for this. So we're like, right, okay, we believe this is of you, and we believe it's going to happen. And the lady had basically said she needed a 20% deposit, and so... You know, I can't naturally work out 20%. So when we calculate, working out 20%, and we were like, I just started crying, didn't I? I was like, Kevin, God's already sorted it. Holly had told me the day before that somebody had made a donation, and that with the gift aid, it was just over £600. The day before, and we needed £600 for this deposit. And we were just like... Wow, God. Wow, God.
How lucky is that, Jackie? Yep.
And we just went, well, you've already provided the deposit, so we're going to believe that actually this is of you, and you're going to provide the rest. And, you know, we really believe it's going to be a really significant time for people, and it's just another opportunity for us to really impart Jesus in just loving people.
Yeah.
And you've got a story as well, haven't you?
So I have, but I was just going to say, you might talk a bit more about this. We're going to take, we'll be honest, the offering today, we would like to use that towards the holiday. But we know that there's still a lot there that we need to believe God for. And we know that this is in God's heart. We know it's something he's set up for us. And actually, we know we just need to trust him for the rest of that. But Rachel had done some planning, which is good, because I don't. And she'd worked out what it would cost for a bus, because a bus has to take all these people there, it has to come back, and then it has to go back again and come back. And she got a price of £900. And I was sat at my desk one day, and I just felt God say, I'm going to give you the bus. And I wrote it down, and I just left it there.
You didn't tell me, did you?
I didn't.
No.
man of faith, you know. And then actually later on I started thinking, you know, £900 for a bus, I'd get it cheaper if we did minibuses, you know, three minibuses. And I got a price and it was cheaper, but there's not luggage room. And then God was pulling me back to what he'd said. So I started feeling uneasy, so I left the minibus thing alone. And there was one morning in here, and Rachel Hall came to us at the end of the meeting. And God, she'd been in the balcony, and God had just been speaking to her and saying, go and talk to Kevin about the bus. Go and talk to Kevin about the bus. And she came down, and she just said, hey, do you guys need a bus for this? Now, Rachel works for Go Northeast. And she said, do you guys need a bus for this? And I said, yes. And she said, I'll see if I can get one for you from my company. And honestly, I was struggling not to cry, really. I mean, it was just amazing. So she goes back to work, and she asks him for a price, and she's a hard bargainer.
Good job, Rachel. Good job.
And she gets this price, and she goes back into her staff room and talks to her colleagues and says, do you think this is all right? And they're going, how did you get it off them for that? And basically, she'd come back, and I think it's £246 or something, you know? Now, I know...
And that's like a 50-odd seater coach. Yeah. That's not like minibuses. Yeah. I mean, and God said, I'm going to give you a bus.
Yeah.
Mega.
And I know, actually, that God said he was going to give us the bus. So I know that somewhere there's £246 to come from someone. It may be somebody here, it may be somewhere else. But somewhere along the line, that's going to come. And I know when we get there on this holiday, we've got a story for these guys to tell them about how God has provided to get them there, because he loves them and he cares for them.
Absolutely. And what we're going to do now is we have got some audio interviews from some of the people who come along to our reading. Obviously, they couldn't be with us this morning, but wanted to kind of share. So I'm going to, I ask them what they think about Eden and what they think about the holiday. So you can listen to that now. Isn't that great? You know, the lady talking about, you know, there's been drifts, you know, there's been tensions and there's been rivalries. And, you know, we when we first started, we had people saying, oh, well, I can't come because so-and-so comes and we don't get on and we don't speak. And now these people are in the same room chatting. And, you know, that's just God's heart. God's heart is unity. God's heart's people being together. And that's really seeing estates and places changed. You know, for years there's been drifts. It's nice getting to know your neighbours. You know, that's nothing we've done, is it?
No.
That's just God, breaking in. And you know, the lady who was getting emotional about the holiday, you know, she was saying, you know, the last time I went on holiday, I went abroad when I was 16 and I've not really been away since. And she's come in with her four kids and it's just an amazing opportunity. And so, like Kevin said, when we take the offering at the end, we've got some little red envelopes. So if you would like to give towards Eden, towards the holiday, if you could put it in those red envelopes, and if you can get gift aid on it, if you put your name on it, Holly will do the rest. We like to keep her busy. And if you give online normally, again, you can do it online, but just make sure you put the references as Eden and we'll get that. And, you know, we really appreciate all the people who have been giving regularly, who have made donations, who have been supporting us in prayer and giving us words. And, you know, we talked at the beginning about this being a partnership with this church, and it really feels like that. And we really appreciate that. We really appreciate all the people who've been donating nappies and sanitary towels and just really practically loving people. So thank you for that.
Right, we're just coming to the end now. We're just going to tell you a few stories, really about the supernatural things that God's been doing. So part of the going is bringing God's presence and his power into situations. And some of that is physical healing and some of that's other stuff. But if all we do is go and be nice and be friendly to people, we've only done half our job. We're told to bring the kingdom wherever we go, and the kingdom's a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm. It says in verse 9, doesn't it, of the passage we've been looking at, then heal the sick and tell them God's kingdom realm has arrived and is now within your reach.
All right. So tell us about the lady with the leg. I mean, she had two legs, but there's one particular one we're interested in.
So you might remember that we were making like a giant nativity scene to rival Phoenix at Christmas, and it was pretty impressive. And one of the ladies who was helping us was there one day, and she'd done amazing, hadn't she? And we were just chatting, and she was saying, "I've just got tightness in my leg. I'm going to fall off this stool if I do it." Yeah. But and I don't know why. I just kind of went, "Well, is one leg longer than the other?" And she went, "I don't know." And then we said, "You know, sometimes people can have pain if one leg's a different length, isn't it?" Yeah. So we said, "Can we pray?" She went, "Yeah, why not?" So we got her a chair, we got her to sit down, and I'm just going to try and not fall. And we said, stretch your legs out, and she stretched her legs out in front of her. And one leg was like obviously
about an inch
shorter than the other. And I went, "Well, can we pray?"
And actually, I'm sitting there thinking, and I know we do this stuff, but sometimes when it comes up, you just think, "Oh, really?" Because there's always a risk. You're always taking a punt on what Jesus is going to do, you know. But we sat her down. Actually, I held her legs. Well, let's just get straight. I held her feet decently and in order. And just held them so you could see where the gap was. And Rachel prayed.
And her leg grew. It was amazing. And she stood up afterwards and she was like, you could see her like walking differently because it felt different. And she was like, "Whoa. That's amazing."
She could feel it stretching inside her leg as we prayed. You know? Mm.
And she'll tell people as well. You know, we prayed and my leg grew. Amazing.
That's good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we get other stuff. You know, we had a lady with a headache. And she's a person who just thinks she's rubbish. And she thinks, you know, that she's done nothing and she is nobody. And she's crushed really by life and circumstances and so on. She came in with this sort of migraine type headache. And I said, "Could I pray?" And she said, "Yes." And she was patient with me because it didn't go on the first prayer. It got a little bit better, but she let me pray a couple more times and it went completely. And it's just letting them know actually that God cares and he loves them and he has power and he can change things. It doesn't matter what it is, he can change it, you know, and he wants to.
Absolutely. And then we had an amazing morning on Friday. So this is literally this week because we wrote this, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then had to change it because God just did some amazing stuff on Friday. So Friday morning, again, we've been praying for people to come on their own. This lady rocks up early, doesn't she, on her own, just her and her baby. And she's got a splint on her hand. I'm like, "What have you done?" And she's like, oh. And what did she have?
A ganglion cyst.
And she literally had this lump on her wrist and this splint on. And we went, "Well, can we pray?"
So she'd taken the brace off. And this thing was probably about the size of half a golf ball. And it was just on here.
And Holly and Janet were there, so you can ask them about it afterwards as well.
Holly and Janet came to supervise.
Came and see what we're doing.
And she was struggling with her fingers. She had pain on it, and she was struggling moving her fingers properly and so on. So Rachel held her hand. So she had a hand on top of Rachel's hand, basically, just like, like that, flat. And I put my hand above. I didn't touch her hand. I just prayed. And the way my hand was, I couldn't see the lump. I just prayed. And I just told it to go in the name of Jesus. And I took my hand away, and I was expecting to see most of a lump, part of a lump, still something. It had gone completely in a second, just disappeared.
Amazing. And I could literally feel it, like, disappearing down as her hand kind of got lower and lower and lower. And then she went to put a splint back on, didn't she?
I said, what are you putting that back on for?
And she was like, oh, yeah. And went and just kind of chucked it under the pushchair. Just absolutely amazing. And then we had a situation, again, Friday afternoon, this lady who's going, I can't breathe, I need to call a doctor. She'd been struggling with her asthma.
Yeah.
And we just went round and chatted and prayed for her. And then she went, what did she say?
Can't remember.
What you like. she said, do you think I should cancel a doctor coming?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm breathing fine. And we were like, well, maybe you should kind of walk about a bit and make sure you are actually breathing properly. And you know, she's got a baby, we can't leave her. And then I not breathe properly. And she was like, and she was fine, wasn't she? And we just gone and prayed and just God opened her lungs and her airways, didn't he?
Yeah.
We've had bad backs and all sorts, haven't we?
Bad backs, the lady who thinks we've got magic hands. but it's actually Jesus, and it's because he
absolutely
loves and he cares, and he wants to heal and he wants to change things. And again, I just want to encourage you, as you go, as you make that decision, I'm going to step out and go, he will be that close with you and walking with you, that all this stuff is available to you wherever you go, among your friends, your neighbors, where you live, where you work, whatever, in your families, whatever it is. He is just so keen to get busy, get to work, you know?
And so we impart, don't we, through who we are and what we say and who we are, but we also impart the kingdom of God with offering a prayer for people and just bringing God's heart and life into situations. And, you know, it's just such a real privilege, really, isn't it? Yeah. Well, it is definitely for me.
Which is for me,
just
too.
Just to have this opportunity to walk with Jesus. And, you know, the call on us all is to go. He sends us all out. And, you know, in a real practical way, we're all going to go from this place. But actually, we can make a decision. Are we going to go and just kind of walk with our shoulders down? Or are we going to go with a purpose? Go because we know we're sent. And go and walk into this week with him. Because actually, the key is about setting our hearts to follow him. And when we do that, our priorities change and things change. And we see these opportunities, don't we? And, you know, for us, that's where we are. But actually, there's opportunities all around you. And, you know, it would be amazing, wouldn't it, to come back next week and have loads of stories of how God's impacted the world around you this week. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to worship again.
Yeah.
And while we worship, we're going to take the offerings. So feel free to give your regular tithes and offerings. If you're a visitor, don't feel any pressure. You can just pass the plate on. But if you want to give towards Eden, towards what God's doing with us, which will all go towards our holiday, you've got these special red envelopes. We take IOUs, don't we, Holly? Holly will get them. And but again, you can give online. And if you pay gifted, you're welcome to write your name on, because again, we get even more money, which is absolutely incredible. And then we're going to respond in a little while as well. Is that right? Cool.